Welcome to Melt University's 2020 summer program. This year, our virtual intern program will help you build your brand, inform you on a variety of career paths, and introduce you to top executives in sports and marketing. Here's your host, President and CEO of Melt, one of the largest independent sports and event marketing agencies in the country, Vince Thompson.
Good afternoon, students of Melt University. We hope so far you're enjoying these amazing podcasts that we have coming out from some of the industry's greatest professionals and leaders and experts. Today, I am very proud and privileged to welcome my dear friend, Kyle Sherman, who is the president of Home Team Sports, a division of Fox Sports that offers advertisers a one-stop shopping for TV, mobile, digital media sponsorships with the Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and many, many other properties across the country. Kyle is a very dear friend of mine to Melt, and his daughter, Courtney, very successful LSU graduate and Melt U alumni intern. Welcome, Kyle.
Thanks, Vince. Good to be with you. Wish it was live.
Well, no kidding. What I tell you, the silver lining is that we've had this great intern program. We had 40 kids last summer. 40 kids signed up for this summer, and due to COVID, we said, hey, we'll pivot here. Let's share this program with the world and make it virtual, and it's been an amazing success story so far, but, you know, we're honored to have you because as we continue teaching our kids on Melt U, many are getting credit on college campuses, themes are beginning to emerge in this. One is obviously life is not linear. As we're all learning on a daily basis, that life is not linear. You're going to get knocked off that saddle. You're going to get told no. And so today, I want to dive into your vast and deep and rich experience in the sports media world and talk to our kids today about so many great careers and career paths in the world. But first, just a little bit more about Kyle, a native of one of my favorite places, New Orleans, Louisiana, graduated from LSU, a tremendous and great school. I grew up near Mobile, spent many, many Saturday nights going to Tiger Stadium and watching the Bengal Tigers. Great career with the Fox organization. Began working with Fox in 1998 in the Western region. Began the amazing climb working in L.A., and as Fox grew and Fox Sports grew in presence and acquisition of properties, and not only that, Kyle has risen with that. They also work with many major college conferences, Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC, Big East, and SEC, including my beloved alma mater, Auburn. So, Kyle, kind of how we want to take sort of this today is we want to talk about your career path. We want to talk about how you see the college campus is the ultimate professional lab. We want to talk about what you advise kids on how to find those opportunities. Say, for instance, at an Auburn or some of the other schools that you guys represent for the rights at Michigan State, how kids get these opportunities, where those opportunities are, where you see the future of those opportunities going as well. Because what the purpose of Melt U is and has always been is we want to help kids find those first jobs in the competitive world of sports and events marketing. We know coming out of post-COVID that it's going to be even tougher to find these jobs, particularly in the liberal arts area. So we want to equip these kids with the best experts in the world. So talk about a little bit about your college experience and then what formed and shaped your career path. We tell these kids to pursue their passion with zeal and don't take no for an answer. The letters N-O just spell the first two words of not yet. So talk about the path and the climb for a minute.
Sure. So I guess the first thing I would say to any young person in college is, you know, I started as a drama major at the University of New Orleans before I wound up taking a pretty long path and then wound up at LSU and actually graduated in business and public administration. So I would say that the 4 years of college, or in my case, six, there's, because I changed majors three times, there's a lot of changes. You're just trying to figure out who you are and what it is that you want to do. And I also graduated in the middle of a recession in the early 80s. So the circumstances that you all will face are similar to the circumstances I faced as I came out. I had no idea there was a television ad sales business. I had no idea about anything about a sports business, because back then sports was a much smaller component of the media industry. And I really, you know, somehow stumbled into it. My dad was good friends with a media buyer. We had dinner one night, and through her networking, I got an interview with Storer Television, which was a broadcast company, and wound up getting a job as an account executive, selling television advertising time for that station group. So that's really how I got into the business. That was 35 years ago, and I never looked back. And I think the reasons that I didn't look back were that I found a career that I felt was more of a consultative enterprise. It wasn't a sales job. It was a marketing job. And, you know, my job was really to figure out how to help brands become more powerful in their messaging and better ways to communicate with the general public. And the first 13 years of my career were spent on the broadcast TV side of the equation. We did sell sports, but it was a small component of all the things that we did. And then I had a former boss of mine who had started at Fox Cable, and they had this nation division called Fox Sports Net, which was regional sports networks at the time. And Vince will remember there wasn't a whole lot of regional sports networks in the country. There were in the major markets, but most of the teams that you see today on regional sports networks were on broadcast TV stations. If you were in Atlanta, you would have seen the Braves on WTBS broadcast, as opposed to Fox Sports South and Southeast, which is where the Braves reside now. So it was a very small, very niche business. I wasn't sure I wanted to make the leap because I had a pretty good broadcast career going. But I looked at the space and I thought, you know, this could turn into something, because the fan base is the fan base. And at the end of the day, it's a very passionate exercise. So I think I want to go look at it. I also saw that there wasn't a whole lot of business being written for these regional sports networks from my friends in the advertising business. And fairly quickly, I figured out as I transitioned over to Fox Sports Net that there were a lot of reasons why my friends weren't buying it, and I couldn't convince them to buy it from a buyer level. So that started a pretty long journey of developing Fox Sports Net at the time into Home Team Sports and what we are today, which is a full-service sports marketing agency with departments and with a lot of people and a very big bottom-line revenue number. That's the path that I took was different than the path that most people take, which is, you know, I sort of had no clue and absolutely zero sense of where I wanted to be. I happened to luck into it. Most people have some sense that they either want to be in sports or sports marketing. My daughter has always wanted to be in sports marketing, probably influenced by me. But I think that, you know, whatever path you're on, it's never something where you have to stress out about it. I used to stress out a lot when I was in my early 20s about what I was going to do. It all works out if you work and develop your career around certain core values. That's much more important than actually what it is that you're going to do. The exact thing that you'll do within an organization or what you may do in starting a business is really predicated on how you operate as a person. It's about how you operate with empathy, how you operate with integrity, and how you operate with a curious mind. If you have those three qualities, integrity just means you do what you say you're going to do. Empathy is just the ability to relate to others and understand that you need others in order to be successful. And those others may work within your organization or outside your organization. I always looked at every encounter with anybody I work with as a chance to get to know somebody and to become friendly or to base the relationship on the exchange of people-to-people skill. And I think that has served me well, because at the end of the day, the lot of the people I grew up with in the business have now become big decision makers, and I have great relationships with them. And that really helps as you develop in your career and how your career arc works. So I would say that focus on your core values and what brand you want to bring. I'm sure you'll hear a lot of people that Vince brings to, because I know Vince cherishes these qualities as well, so he's generally attracted to people who share these values. So you probably hear this a bunch, but you'll hear it a bunch because it's true, and it does work that way, that the better you're able to navigate with empathy, your EQ as opposed to IQ, and I'm sure everybody on the phone on this podcast has heard the EQ phrase, which is about your emotional quotient, your ability to deal emotionally with others. And especially in this time of great stress and anxiety, societal change and upheaval, injustice in the world, and things that are going on that are well beyond most of our control, your ability to be able to navigate it in a way that remember that it's people to people, and everything is about how you interact with others. It's very critical for your career success to understand that.
Well, that's what an amazing riff. You've given us a lot to unpack right now. So I'm going to step back and sort of unpack it. One that just stood out was you changed your major multiple times in college. So you don't see that as a scholastic, academic, or career setback. If you're in college and you're trying things and you're trying to find your way, so you don't really view that as a negative if the student's really trying to find their way, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's a great one. I think the second thing that you really pointed out is that, and we tell the kids a lot, that your path is going to be your path. So don't get too prefixed on what your path's going to be. I thought I was going to go back to Mobile and be a sports writer, and wound up being able to build a good company and a good career based on my passion of sports. But you hit on really something really big is that staying true to your core values is going to be very important, not only in your personal growth and relationships, but your professional growth in relationships, in that no matter what business that you pursue or profession or career, the golden rule and the value of relationships and how fast these things come around now. Talk about the value of relationships. Expand on that a little bit more, because what we all, everybody says it's not what you know, it's who you know, but that's based on not only networking, but how you treat everybody, in every situation.
That's right.
And so I really want you to talk about that and stress on that a little bit today.
Yeah, I'll share what I share with all the entry level folks who come into home team sports, right? So I always want to have a personal conversation with anybody entering, because as a young person, you come into a company and you have to be oriented. And a lot of companies don't spend a great deal of time orienting or what your expectations should be. And so the talk around the empathy part is, when you're beginning your career and you're first starting, especially if you're in an organization, entry-level position, is it's your job to be the most popular person, to be able to relate to the people that you're going to be dealing with, either internally or externally, in a way that makes you fun to be around and fun to talk to. You need to make sure that you bring a sense of personality to it. I'll tell you, if you're an entry level position in business, you're talking to people who talk to hundreds of other people in a week or in a month. And if every time that you interact with that person, you make it a positive experience, even if it's a negative situation, that's how you build a reputation. So, and I'll explain what that means, is that you can be dealing with somebody and you have to call and say that we failed to do something as an organization, and you're going to be on the forefront of how to resolve that. You have to make sure it's resolved, right? And if you do resolve it, the person on the other end will give a lot of respect to you as somebody who came in and solved a problem, right? I try and emphasize to our entry-level folks to always leave a positive impression, even in a negative situation, because that's how people start to go, you know, I really love that person that I deal with there at Home Team Sports Los Angeles. They always get back to me quickly. They resolve my issues. They're always on it. And that's the reputation you want, right? And you get that through your integrity. Integrity, I said earlier, it's do what you say you're going to do. Every time you meet someone's expectation, so if I say, I don't have your answer, I'll call you back in an hour. And 59 minutes later, I call back. Whether I have the answer or not is inconsequential. It's that I said I'd call you back in an hour. If I said I'll call you back in an hour, and then 2 days later, that person's like, hey, Kyle was supposed to call you back in an hour. It's 2 days later. That's so disappointing. Well, you missed an expectation, and therefore you dinged your integrity and your reputation. These little building blocks of integrity all add up to your reputation. I've always tried to make sure in my career that if I say something to anybody I'm doing business with, that I follow through and do it. Or if I can't do it, they know that I gave it the full effort and that I kept them in communication and transparency throughout the process. If you can operate every day that way as a business person, whether you start your own company or whether you work in an organization, you will go far, because 90% of people out there fail to meet basic expectations. So that is a goal, and that should be a goal for you. And then the curious mind aspect of it is something that, you know, I will come across an article. Vince and I always go back and forth, but I do this with numerous people across the country on any number of levels. I'll come across an article that I know would interest my friend who runs Southwest Airlines marketing. I'm zipping it off with a note, not selling anything, but just to let them know, look, I'm learning, and I want you to know that, you know, that this is an interesting article to me. And I get a lot of notes back saying, thank you, I hadn't seen that. And just if you're not curious enough, or if you're not passionate enough about what you're doing to constantly have your mind in it, reading trades, looking and observing the real world for what you do and how examples of things that are successful and work. If you don't have passion to do that, you need to be doing something else. So I think those three things are really what can make a successful career.
Well, that's amazing, because I get made fun of a lot because I read so much. I have such a giant curious mind. As you know, you and I exchange articles and things all the time, but you never know where that's going to prompt an opportunity. Yep. And so that's kind of why I'm such a big advocate of that. And you hit on a couple of major things. And one theme that we have is it's only as important as you make it. So for instance, if you do secure the job interview, you know, bring the heat, because as you said, that you only have one chance to make that first impression. You know, bring that resume, bring that portfolio, turn that, you know, the dadgum phone off, and look that person in the eye, interview the interviewer, see the emotional surroundings in their office. But also, you know, Kyle, and this is one of my big pet peeves, is I'll get a blind resume to, it'll say, attached is my resume and I need to make, you know, X amount of dollars a year. Well, I immediately flush that resume, because that tells me they've done nothing for their homework to find out who Melt is, who I am, what the nature of the job requires. So they're already communicating how they would be as a future employee. And so expound on sort of what gets your attention, where somebody can rise above the 1,000 resumes you get a year to really stand out.
Yeah. So you hit on it really well, which is preparation. It's understanding, if I'm going to interview with a particular company, that I'm prepared. I understand what the company does. I may make some observations about that during the interview. I may ask about the competition and what keeps them up at night, and some just good questions to pry out knowledge of what business you're interviewing and what that person who's in a leadership position within the organization, how they view the world. So the art of giving a good interview is it starts with preparation. And then to Vince's point also, it's a good connection between you and that interviewer. Sometimes that's difficult because, you know, you're walking in, that person may not have a great personality. They may not be open. They may be looking for you to take control and to do the bulk of the talking. You have to be prepared for those types of things. And that's where the preparation about the company goes. And, you know, if you can network your way, I'll tell you one tool you guys have that we never had when I was coming up is LinkedIn, where you can do a lot of networking. And if you're going to interview with a company, you can probably connect with somebody who might be out of your university, potentially, that went to work for that company, somebody that you can get connect to and find out a little bit more about that company. That's always a good thing to do. And the final thing I would say also, what I look for, because I meet a lot of young people who are trying to get into the business, and we have a great conversation, but I don't know if what the person is telling me is true unless there are some references. References are very important. You know, if you can put down a number of references of people, not just in your personal life, but if you've volunteered to do something, if you've done something outside of just your education, and interacted with people that can speak on your behalf and say, what a wonderful person, or these are the qualities they espouse. You know, we believe in them. They did a great job for me. You know, I've known them since they were, X age, and they're just wonderful, terrific people. That always helps too. I see a lot of young people fail to put down references because maybe they think, oh, I can only put down family, friends, or those types of people. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. I don't expect somebody to come in and have, you know, the president of a company on your reference list. It's just that's not something I expect. But it is important because it gives me a sense of who you are as a person, your character and quality. And I also say, be careful with your social media. I'm sure you can hear this from a lot of people, and you probably already have. Be careful with your social media. It counts. And as you can see in today's day and age, it does count. If you are espousing your views and they're either off the mark or they are, you know, not, it's the classic, I shouldn't have posted those pictures last night, or, you know, I shouldn't have gone on Twitter after going out to the bar till 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. You just got to be careful with your social media habits.
Well, we call it the grandmother test. If you don't want your grandmother to see it on social media, do not post it, because I can assure you, as an employer and you as an employer, that's one of the things that we're going to go look for first, because we're looking for a person's judgment in these situations. And, you know, hey, we all like to have fun and go out and have fun with our friends. And as I always say, thank goodness there was no social media when I was coming through Auburn and you were coming through LSU. But that's the reality of that. And then to your point about LinkedIn, in the old days, we had to go to the library to look for the encyclopedia or resource book or the yellow pages for resources and research. The kids now have it in the palm of their hands. So talk about a couple of things. So talk about how they position themselves on LinkedIn, what you look for, and then we tell them various tricks to say, okay, go to Vince Thompson's LinkedIn. He's got 19,000 followers. It's the greatest Rolodex in the country. He's linked to Kyle Sherman. Kyle Sherman's linked to thousands of other people. Talk about how you, because one of the themes of my book coming out at the end of July is going to be brand you. So as we pivot into the campus is the ultimate professional lab, what do kids need to be doing to build their brand presence on the campus now? And obviously I'm very familiar with the operations down at Auburn, and so many opportunities for kids with the Auburn network, within the athletic department. Sort of talk through how that progression might work for a young kid.
Well, I think your LinkedIn, it is important as you get into business, and there are probably resources on your campus. I know that, so I'm on the Dean's Advisory Council for the Orso Business College at LSU. And I've actually helped them to make some change to give students resources to help build a better LinkedIn profile. And so they actually have addressed that. And I'm sure most schools, if you're in a business school or if you're in whatever school you are within your university, there should be resources, should be ways for you to find how can I get help to make sure my LinkedIn is professional. I'm sure that there are examples of things. If you just search through LinkedIn, for example, you can see. I look more at the resume that comes in, and for people who are entering the workforce, I do have a bias towards people who participated in sports in high school and or college, mm-hmm. because I do think that sports is an important character builder. It does show the value of working and teamwork and the things that go on with sports that make a difference. It's not a must have, but it's always good to highlight that if you participated. But if you didn't do sports and you did nothing else, then that's also like, this person's a blank slate, and I don't know, enough to make a judgment on how they would be as an employee. So there has to be some story. There has to be something that you've participated in, no matter what it is, and make sure that hits your resume. And make sure that your resume is not just a Word document that you sat down and changed the fonts up a little bit and bolded a few things. Spend a little bit and make sure that you get a professional looking mm-hmm. resume that has some pizzazz to it, especially if you're going to be on the creative side of the business, which many of you may be leaning towards the creative side. And,
well, we like to say resume is a blind date. You've got to make a very positive first impression. You also touched on what we're looking for as employers, self-starting initiative. And I tell the kids, even if you're working in a coffee shop, you're showing that self-starting, but you also position yourself as saying, hey, I was on the front lines of consumer behavior. I served 100 people per day. I know how to interact with people. And like I said, Auburn gave me my start. So I look at the university. There's so many opportunities to really get your feet wet, whether it's you think of hundreds of sporting events and other events that are being produced on the Auburn campus. Go volunteer to help produce those events, string cable, help game day operations, help in the ticket department, alumni relations, because the lowest hanging fruit also, Cal, is if there's an LSU graduate, they're going to touch your emotional heartstrings as well as your professional heartstrings. So use that campus and that opportunity to really mine and develop a person's foundation of their brand. Wouldn't you say that would be a true case?
Very true. Very true. And one other additional side note is that a handwritten thank you following an interview is very powerful. It not a lot of people do it, and it matters. I think it's something that it impresses me when somebody takes the time to actually physically write a note saying thank you. It's much more powerful than an email saying thanks. You can do both. You can send an email thank you, and then a follow-up card is always good.
I tell you, we encourage all of our kids to get them some business cards, get them some note cards. A follow-up note is a lost art. And when I get one of those, they immediately go to the top of my list for job recommendations. And because what you want to do is you want to put yourself in that 5th percentile of job consideration. And at some point, that putt's going to fall. You're going to land that fish based on a body of work and effort you're displaying to that future employer. Also talk about, because you're on the forefront of giant evolutions in the sports industry, how fans consume sports, how consumers consume them, sponsors spend on them. Talk about where you see the opportunities for this younger generation in the new evolving career of world of sports.
Well, if you could be a chief health officer, probably going to be a brand new position, and there's going to be, you know, staff needed for that particular exercise, because mm-hmm. venues are going to have to figure out how to bring consumers back and feel safe, and that's going to mm-hmm. take some expertise. So that's going to be a brand new brand new function to most teams and venues that you'll see. Look, I think the beauty of sports, and you'll see this once we're through, once there's a vaccine, once there's a treatment, once we get to the other side of this, the beauty of sports is that it's the one thing that doesn't change. Fans are fans. The second longest relationship you usually have in your life is with your fandom, with your team, mm-hmm. right? I'm a Saints fan since I was 8 years old. That's mm-hmm. the second longest, other than my brother and my parents. It's the second oldest relationship I have in my life. Maybe sad, but I think it's brilliant. And I mm-hmm. think that's sort of, you always have to remember that that's what exists within sports. So the marketing capabilities within sports will always be there. And it's generally not going to be done by an algorithm. You can't use an algorithm to provide a solution to a company that encompasses what is good about sports marketing. So whether you're working directly for a team or a school like Auburn Sports Properties, the human to human aspect of that is what makes sports special, and that won't change. Yes, there's televised sports, which you can also, you know, that's what I'm in. I'm in both ends of the sports industry. So I'm in the televised sports as well as the event-driven sports. Events are, you know, fantastic, and they're good old-fashioned advertising and marketing that works. And so the ability to connect with a brand with a consumer who's going to be a lifelong fan of a particular university, that's powerful stuff. And it will be that way in 20 years. It's not going to change. So I think a lot of the ecosystem, a lot of the jobs that are currently in the system, there'll be some changes in terms of how many social media and digital components there are versus how many, you know, in stadium / activation there are. So the mix of employees may change a bit, but I fundamentally believe that the sports business in its format will survive well, and therefore the job opportunities are fairly consistent with what you see now. I don't see a space where in the ecosystem, there's going to be some disruption for the next couple of years, no question about it. Mm-hmm. Once you get past that disruption, I think it's going to be pretty well settled, and it'll still be one of the brilliant places to market a brand.
Well, this has been amazing, and so we always like to sort of wrap up with our guests with what we call a speed round. You've had an amazing career. You've interacted at the highest levels with celebrities in sports. So who's your favorite say athlete or celebrity that you've ever dealt with, and why?
That I've dealt with
in a professional capacity, in, you know, like because you've interacted, you've done Super Bowls, you know, you've done you've been to thousands of events and produced thousands of events. Who would stand out of the crowd?
That's a quick one that you hit me with. Let me think about it for a second. Think that there's a player who used to play for the Milwaukee Brewers, Rob Deer, that I've mm-hmm. become good friends with. Rob was, you know, he played alongside Robin Yount, Hall of Famer, and you know he was known for hitting home runs, but also striking out a lot. But he was one of the hardest working guys, and a great guy, and he just stands out to me as somebody who has great integrity. He's trying to actually launch a business right now, so I'm helping him a little bit with that. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's just a good all around person inside. I don't deal a lot with athletes, current athletes, because my role is not to be mm-hmm. in that end of the business. But I will tell you, Bruce Pearl to me is somebody that I respect and admire. I had the opportunity to see him give a post-game speech last season after a very close victory against Alabama. And I got to tell you, I was ready to go play basketball for Bruce Pearl. Mm-hmm. So I look for people who hold true to their character and who inspire and who give back. And I think those are examples of people that are good at that.
Well, listen, I tell you what, this has been an amazing interview for our students to hear. I hope they listen to it more than one time. There are so many nuggets. I took so many notes in here. So, you know, guys, Kyle is very active on LinkedIn. He is an amazing resource. He's one of the kindest, most compassionate people in our industry. He's also he's very understated. He's an icon in what he's built for and with on behalf of Fox. So Kyle Sherman, president of Home Team Sports, big division of Fox Sports. What you've shared today has been invaluable, and I just want you to know how much I personally appreciate your time and how much our students of Melt University appreciate your time. So Kyle Sherman, president of Home Team Sports, thank you so much today for joining Virtual Melt University 2020.
Thank you, Vince. Stay safe.
Thanks, Vince. Hope you enjoyed today's virtual class. We'll be back soon with another edition of Melt University 2020.